Blog Talk Radio.
Look at what the Lord has done.
How You do. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you have the final word. Your word is amen. You are a dependable God. Oh, Father, we thank you. We bless you for your being dependable, oh God, for being true to who you said you are, being faithful, oh God. Almighty God, we just thank you for this day that you have granted us. We thank you for blessing us to breathe in this atmosphere, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you continue to keep us as the apple of your eye. Father, we pray this morning for those out there on the north, the south, the east, and the west, Lord, that you would touch them. Lord, we ask you to touch, oh God, the president, the vice president, the Congress, House of Representatives, oh God, touch, Lord Jesus, the Supreme Court, Justice Department. Father, there's so much going on in the world right now, but I'm not telling you what you don't know. I'm just saying, Father, that we need you. We need you to touch, oh God. We ask you to revive our hearts again, Lord. Father, we pray for the word this morning as it's about to come forth. That, Lord God, that you anoint the word, oh God. Sharpen it, oh God. That as it go forth into the hearts and minds of the people that hear, that they will never be the same. Father, bring restoration in the body of Christ. And even those that are supposed to be in the body, Lord, we ask you to draw them. Allow them to hear truth, O God. And let truth take it root in our hearts, O God. Father, anoint the man of God, the woman of God, and allow them to do what thus says the Lord. Let it be none of them but all of you, Jesus. Have your way. We are careful always to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Come on in, Bishop and Apostle, and let the Lord use you. Come on in.
Praise God. Blessed be God and blessed be his holy matchless, wonderful name. We are here to worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus Christ, our almighty, all-sufficient God. Yahweh, the great, great, great I am that I am. We have come to worship, to praise, to honor. And that's all included in worship. And we thank God for all of you today, our overseer. Thank you so much, Apostle Calendar. Thank you for your family, and thank you for all that you do for the kingdom of God, for being a vessel of the Lord. Hallelujah. Chosen one of the Lord.
Thank you, Apostle.
And you're so welcome. And we thank God for you. We thank God for all of the servants of the Lord, those who are truly chosen vessels, who stay mindful of the fact that Jesus Christ is all in all, staying mindful that we must praise him and worship him in all that we do and all that we say and everywhere that we go. We must represent him according to who he is, and he is the Most High. He is Jesus, our all in all. And if we don't make him our all in all, then we will have a tendency, even those that have been chosen to be chosen vessels, they are chosen vessels of the Lord, people who are in the kingdom, and minding the business of the Lord, we have to be careful that we don't allow the magnetism that comes when we become a vessel of the Lord, because we become a magnet for people to be drawn to, and that's what magnets do. But we can't allow the magnetism to have us get overboard. When I say overboard or get beside ourselves or high-minded, egotistical, you know, I talk about that all the time because there's so much of it in the church. It's so prevalent today that people want to be looked up to and even those in ministry. And as leaders in ministry or leaders in our workplace, you know, we have to remain humble and do the work and not expect to get the glory, because the glory belongs to the Lord. And all the credit of whatever we accomplish belongs to the Lord, because simply everything belongs to him. We do, everything in this world does, and we must be always mindful of that, because if we lose our glorified minds and go back to the flesh, the fleshly way of thinking, and lose it after all the work we've done and all the great messages we've preached and all of the giving and all of that, we have to be very careful that we stay mindful, keeping our mind on Jesus. Our all in all, keeping our mind on him will give us that perfect peace. We'll stay perfectly in his peace and not get in the way of what God has called us to do, not get in the way, but be in the way of God, be in the way, in the truth, in the life, but not get in the way of the purpose that God has called, not allow our humanness, our flesh to get in the way, thank you, Holy Spirit, to get in the way of what we were called to do. And so today our message is about Jesus is our all in all, and we're going to go to some different places in the Word. We're not going to stay in one book. But the first book I want to start with is when in Luke chapter 1, when Mary was a chosen vessel of the Lord. And let's go to Luke chapter 1 right now. Thanks again to all of you for coming to church today to hear the word of the Lord, to hear the word of the Lord, and not the vessel that bring the word. Because we're only the vessel. We want to hear God today. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verse, starting at verse 26. And some may think, wow, that's a Christmas message. But it's the message of our Messiah, of the one that's going to be coming again, our Lord, our Jesus Christ, above all. And he should be our all in all. That's our topic. Jesus Christ, our all in all. So, Luke, wasn't one of the 12 disciples, but he was an eyewitness of Christ. Well, let me fix that. He wasn't one of the 12 disciples, thank you, Holy Spirit, an eyewitness of Christ or even a theologian. But he opens his book by explaining why he chose to write Jesus' story, you see. Good leaders will recognize the need to give the credibility where it belongs. All credit belongs to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's just go here. Chapter 1, verse 26. The birth of Jesus. Verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Verse 27. So a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." This might be verse 30. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." So when we become chosen ones, I just want to just speak to this just with a few words here. When we become chosen ones of the Lord, we become highly favored of God when he chooses us as a vessel to be leaders in his kingdom. So he says, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You've been found favor. You have found favor with God." Many of us have found favor and walk in his favor every day. But we must walk in his favor, knowing we're walking in his favor, but we're doing the work of the Lord. We're only the vessel. I'm going to be basically talking about the vessels of the Lord, the people of the Lord that have been chosen and who know that Jesus is our all in all. And for those who will today come to the Lord Jesus and begin to know the same thing, that he is whom he chooses, whom he decides to choose. So he says, verse 31, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Here, Jesus is making this announcement. God himself is making this announcement to Mary that she will be the mother of Jesus. That's wow, my God. And 32 says, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you." Oh, no, Mary, let me skip one. Verse 34. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Verse 35 says, "The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be unable to conceive in her 6 months. For no word from God will ever fail." Amen. Hallelujah. That's a shout right there. No word from God will ever fail. And it's saying to us here, God is doing something that would normally happen. He is the God of the supernatural. She was said to be unable to conceive in, and she's now in her 6 months. So when God says something to us that we are to do and tells us how it's going to be done, whether it's something that we can understand, whether we can understand it or not, it's going to be done. When we obey, we can too be highly favored of the Lord, and we can be one of his chosen vessels who will be honored to the end. If we decide in our minds that Jesus is always going to be my all in all, I'm always going to be like a Joshua. I'm going to be like a Moses. I'm going to be exactly what God called me to be to do his work in this earth. We're only the vessel. So That's something that we have to look at right there. God chose her, and it was going to happen. She didn't understand it, and she would never understand it. Even now, we know that the power of God moved on Mary, and she became pregnant with our Savior. And he told her she was highly favored. So remember, when you are doing the work of the Lord, people are saying all the time, I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. But are you really highly favored, or you are highly favored in yourself? Are we really highly favored by God, or is it that we are enjoying this magnetism and now with great magnitude, we want great magnitude in our spirit, in our ego. We want people to look up to us. We love it when we get the accolades and the adulation. We love that. But what we must really love is the fact that, number one, that God has chosen me, chosen you, and others to do his will, which is a great, great privilege. There is no words to really describe that. So, but then when we really realize who he is, we may not understand everything he asks us to do. We may not understand everything we have to go through, because we are that chosen vessel. But what we must understand and always know that he is the one that's all in all. The credit must always go to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, today, there are many who believe that it's all about them. It's all about me. I'm the one. Because of the great things that they're achieving, forgetting that the promotion came from God. Many are bringing about or being self-promoted. Many people are doing things that they shouldn't even be doing. However, let's get to some more words. So Mary had to know that sooner or later, you know, she had to know because they had been hearing of the Messiah. But nobody knew when, how it was going to happen, who would be the parents. I'm sure when they heard of the coming Messiah, even Mary had to know, began to think about, how is this going to come about? Well, we know it's going to come about. She had to know sooner or later somebody would be chosen as the vessel of God's very highest purpose. Very, very highest purpose, because he is the highest, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. She had to realize that somebody would be chosen to bring the Messiah, those who heard the word that the Messiah was going to come into this world. She had to know that somebody would be the most blessed among all women. But she couldn't have known that from the beginning of time. Here it is. Don't miss this. That from the beginning of time, God had his eye on her as that somebody. Uh-oh, what's that? Let me put it on. Let me put this. I'm sorry about that interruption there. So, anyway, lost my train of thought there. Bring it back home. So God had his eye on her as the somebody. He prepared her for the bearing. He prepared her to be the parent. He prepared Joseph to be the parent, the one who would be the Savior of the world. God prepared Mary. He was the one to raise Jesus Christ through Mary. So this woman of faith responded to the alarm when an angel of the Lord told her she had found favor with God and would give birth to the baby Jesus. "How will this be," she asked, "since I am a virgin?" That's a good question. And anybody would have asked that. Hallelujah. So the messenger answered, "With God all things are possible. He has chosen you and honored you as the one to give birth to the Son of God." And so Mary's response is this: "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. Be it unto me." So there may be times when we as leaders ask, how can this be? How can this be? Why would the Lord choose me? We wonder how God could do something through us. But see, wise leaders will respond the way Mary did. Even though we wonder, we're in awe of it. But what we will do is we'll respond in the way that Mary did. "I am yours. I am your servant. Be it unto me. May it be as you have said." And that being said, that is saying, you're God. You're almighty. You're the all in all. You're everything. And you're everything I need. Do as you will with me. Use me, Lord, and help me to remain that, to remain knowing that, not forgetting that, you're using me, and it is your power, it's your authority that's within me, and it's how I carry on, knowing, Lord, that you are the one, and you will always be the one, my Lord, hallelujah, and I'm grateful. So see, God will use people that we will think, how come God would use her? How come God would use this person to be a servant? Hallelujah. Why? But see, God will use whomever he chooses, and he uses those that we would think, that's not the one I thought that God would use. That's not the one. They didn't even believe that Jesus was the one. And still, some people still don't believe he's the one, the Messiah. And some don't even believe that he has already come. Hallelujah. So we remain, some of us, and just baffled by the fact that the Lord would use someone that doesn't have much education, doesn't have a degree in theology, doesn't have a whole lot of money, very well dressed, very educated. And some would think, why would the Lord choose them over me? You might be one that's in the same sanctuary, that same church, and you're a passed over. Some have been passed over thinking that I'm the one because I have so much more to offer. But see, it's not about what we have to offer. It's about what God wants to do through us. It's not about us. Because what God want to do through us, we could never accomplish on our own anyhow. Because only God is able to do all things, for he is the all in all. He's above all, even above all his own creation, even above all the things that he made, the people he made. He's above all the riches in the world. He's above all. Everyone that those who are called so-called leaders, they're so-called leaders. Well, if we're a chosen vessel, we should act accordingly and not get our egos all pumped up thinking it's all about me, because it's not. We got to be mindful, again, I say, that it's all about Jesus Christ. Mary gave in to the call. She gave in. She accepted it. She just said, be it unto me. Can you say today, when the Lord calls you, when you hear the Lord so clearly say that you're the one, can you say, be it unto me? Whatever the Lord be asking you to do, whatever he may ask you to do or me to do, we should say, be it unto me, Lord. Whatever you say, Lord, because I know you have all I need to get this. You have all the tools I need. You've given me the gifts that I already have. I have it all because you gave it all to me in order for me to be a blessing to the kingdom, a gift to the body of Christ. We truly are gifts to the body of Christ. But when we begin to think that it's all about us, then that changes the whole scenario. That changes the whole picture, because that's not how it's supposed to be. We got to trust God. When he's our all in all, we're going to trust him. You gave me this to do, Lord, and even though I don't know how, I may not have been trained to do so, but Lord, I know that I'm able to get through it because I'm just going to rely on you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's go. We're going to be going to Acts. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, God. We're going to go to Acts. We've been to Luke. Let me turn the page over here. Hallelujah. Let's turn the pages here. You see, spiritual leaders that have the spirit of God and not the spirit of the evil one will lead God's family and will lead God's army. We must be prayerful. We must know that we're always going to be, there's always going to be some warfare, but God is going to give you all you need for the battle. Because he said the battle is not yours, it is mine. So God will use, as they call some, the commoners. He will use the commoners and not those who already think they're kings and queens, okay? So let's go now to Acts chapter, it is chapter 3. Let's go to Acts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We won't be long before you today. Acts chapter 3. Turn your Bible.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen, hallelujah. Acts chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Verses 12 and 13. Okay, I'm there. Let me read the verse. Verse 12. Hallelujah. Start at 11. Peter speaks. This is one that we would call a turnaround leader. Peter was turned around and he was the most improved among the disciples. One of my favorites in the Bible. So, verse 11. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. Verse 12. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by my own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" When he healed the lame beggar, remember? "So the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one you handed over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murder be released instead." So we're going to preach from here some more, talk about this some more. This is when God will use uncommon, the commoners, the ones you would never expect to be used. Jesus didn't go to the rich young ruler. He didn't go to him and call him to follow him. It would have been nice if he would have. The rich young ruler went to Jesus. Y'all know the story. We're not going to go there in the Bible. But Jesus didn't choose him, but he wanted to be one of the 12. But because he was so rich and he had so much power, you know, so rich, he's a ruler. But what he saw Jesus doing, these supernatural things that Jesus was doing, he wanted to be a part of it. It's that magnetism. You know, he was drawn to Jesus in that way because he saw what Jesus was doing, and it was just so great and so awesome what Jesus was doing. But he wasn't, but Jesus, Tim, could he give it all up for the kingdom? He said, to follow me, you have to give all of what you have up. Y'all know the story. And Bible readers do. But he walked away sad, because he couldn't give it all up. Why? Because it became so much a part of him. He loved being the ruler. He loved being on top. He couldn't imagine giving all that up because he thought, I can't become poor. I can't become one like that. I want to stay in charge. I'm a ruler. But Jesus saying a prerequisite, you got to meet this criteria. You have to give it all up. So what Jesus, in essence, what he was really saying is, you got to give up that mindset that I'm all that. That it's you that's so great. And it's hard for people who have so much, that are so rich and have everything, it's hard for them to give up that type of life. To give all. They can't see themselves looking at someone else as all in all. Jesus Christ above, which means I will have to depend on Jesus Christ for everything. I'm accustomed to depending on myself. I can get everything I want for myself. I can go where I want. I can choose to do what I want to do. I don't have nobody ruling over me. It's hard to get the flesh to give up that rulership. He couldn't do it. No, indeed. I can't give all this up. But he went away sad because he really wanted to be with them because they were of the elite group. They're of the elite, and Jesus is doing supernatural things. He's doing great and awesome, mighty work. So he can relate to some
you know, he's still like, he's your highness. I'm high. I'm above too because I'm a leader. And I want to be a part of this elite group because they're doing some wonderful things. And they got the magnetism. They got it going on. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that circle. But I don't want to do what they have to do to be a part of that. Because I still want to be my own man, my own woman. I still want to be me. But that's not how it works in the kingdom of God. All right. So far, we're looking at the character of people. The character of the people that God used to accomplish his eternal purposes in this earth. My God. We find that the ones who have done mighty works in the kingdom, in the Bible, in the stories that we read, in people that we know even in this life, we find that they are people of prayer, people of fasting, people of great faith, men and women of faith, even children God is using, and used Mary, who was only a child. So now we come to this knowledge. We got to come to the knowledge of the fact that Jesus is all in all. So as we get to verse 12, we've seen and discover that these are men who have come to the cross in their own lives. They know about being soldiers of the cross. They've reckoned. They've come to reckon. Hallelujah. Their old way of life has to be dead. Their old way of life has been done. It's left behind now. It's part of my past now, and I'm not going to go back. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Hallelujah. I'm going to carry my cross to my grave. And they are not looking for any glory for themselves like some people are looking for glory for themselves. Hallelujah. They're not just saying, Lord, do whatever you want to do with me, and I'll give you all the credit. All the glory is yours, oh God. So Peter and John were going into the temple. And it was the hour of prayer, to give you a little bit more of the story. The lame man sought alms from them. He was begging. This is what he did all his life, most likely. He had to be carried there because he was lame. Obviously, he could not walk. So every day, somebody had to take him to this place called Beautiful. So, look it up. He turned expecting to receive something. But Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise to your feet and walk. Oh, my God. And Peter lifted the man to his feet. Immediately the man received strength. He began to walk and leap and praise God. He went into the temple with Peter and John, walking, leaping, praising God. And all of the people gathered together on Solomon's porch, greatly wondering. Wondering. Oh, my God, this man has been coming here all this time. He could not walk. We watch people carry him here every day. He's carried to this place. And that doesn't mean that he had no money now. That was his job. That's what he did. So that doesn't mean he was so poor, but he was poor in his body. And he was poor in his spirit. He needed a spiritual awakening. Here he was sitting by the gate named Beautiful, called Beautiful. People passing him by every day, but Jesus didn't pass him by. Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty was upon Peter. The power and the authority was in Peter and John, because the power, it was the power of Jesus Christ, and they knew it. As he go leaping, the people are in awe, and they're wondering. So when Peter saw them wondering and saw how perplexed they looked, he answered the people. He answered to that look they were giving, and they're going, "Oh my!" You know how it is when people see something that they've never seen before. You've been there. I've been there. They're wondering. He answers the looks. He answers the ahs and ahs and all of that. He answered, "You men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why are you so surprised at this? Why are you marveling? Or why do you look so much on us as though by our own power, our holiness, we have made this man to walk?" Peter, recognizing that the people are about to worship him and look upon him as though he was something special. Oh, my God. Well, we see that so much in the people of the church and leaders in general, not just the church. It happens in many other areas of life or positions in life. So he immediately seeks to turn them away from himself to the worship of God. And this is what we need to always do, give God the worship and the credit. So you see, many people cannot differentiate between God and the vessel that God uses to accomplish his purposes. Because you see, I can see the people, we can see the people, the individual, the vessel, the leader, sometimes see people exalt individuals, people that God used, rather than exalting God who used the individual, the vessel. And this is just the way people are. You can't stop people from being this way. When they're that way, as long as you give God the praise and the honor and the glory, you can just move on. Don't try to make a case out of it. Just go on. Just glorify God, magnify his holy name, and move on. But you can, as Peter, be careful not to try to stand on that pedestal. Don't stand on that pedestal, because people will put people on a pedestal. Don't stand on that pedestal that they are trying to put you on. You can be careful. You got to be careful to turn the people away. Turn them to the Lord. Point them to Jesus all the way. And let them get focused on the Lord who's using you, using them. Be focused on the Lord. Be focused on what it is. Focus on the power that comes from Almighty God, Jesus Christ, our all in all. So one of the greatest dangers in ministry or in leadership in general is, especially in ministry, because we're talking basically about ministry, is when God truly begins to use you in a supernatural, marvelous, beautiful, great way, because the people then want to exalt you. That's not good. And people do it all the time. I've seen them kiss the minister's feet, throw the money at them, you know, put their jewelry and all that stuff in the offering basket. Because a lot of times they're looking up to the leader. And the people of God got in trouble when they began to look up to Moses. That's what happened when Moses went away and they built that golden calf, because they could see Moses. They saw Moses doing these things that God, these wonderful supernatural things that God was doing through Moses. They began to look up to Moses. He became the pastor, because when he left and they thought he was gone too long, what they did? They erected a god. And that speaks to me that, and to maybe others, that they began to look up to Moses and forgot all about the one who put the power into Moses, gave Moses the authority. It wasn't his own power and authority. So that's one of the greatest dangers in ministry, when God truly begins to use us in a supernatural way. Because the people then want to exalt, they begin to want to exalt the vessel, and that's not good. So the crowd began to look at Peter and John as if it was the result of their own great holiness, or that they had some kind of special power, that they were able to make this lame man walk, and they were ready to worship them for the miracle that was done for the lame man. So here's the thing. If you want to be used of God continually be used by God, we've got to come to the death of the flesh, come to the death of the self-will, come to the death of the self-life, the selfish life. It's a very easy trap. We can easily fall into that trap. That is to take the credit and the glory for what God has done. We hear it all the time, don't we? I did this and I did that. I laid hands and they got healed. So when people begin to elevate you, me, look up to us, and begin to give us reverence like that, it is so easy to then begin to accept that praise, accept that adulation. And our old flesh loves that, don't it love that? That flesh do not want to give that rulership up. Our old flesh, our old nature want to be worshipped, don't we know it? It want to be admired. It want to be loved by everybody. They can't accept it when people don't like them. Oh, they don't like me. They don't like me. I don't know why they don't like me. I don't know. You ain't got to be liked by everybody. We don't have to be loved by everybody. As long as you know you're loved by Jesus Christ, the one that's your all and all, Jesus Christ. We want people to look up to us and say, we want people to think that we are very holy and we are very righteous and we are very spiritual. And so often we then put on this spiritual, our so-called magnetism, and it's going to cause all kind of errors in your life. Put on a show. We begin to put on a show for folk because they're looking up to us. Hallelujah. And so often we put on spiritual. It's called putting on a show and putting on spiritual errors. We can call it errors. We begin to have certain affections that appear to be extremely, extremely spiritual. We even get a spiritual voice.
Well, hello, Brother Bob. Bless you. You know, bless you, Brother Bob. Come on here. Give me a hug, Brother Bob. You know that?
And you can begin to hold your hands in a spiritual way. You can watch these people. Have you ever really observed? You got to really observe the posture. I'm always looking. I'm observing. I'm looking at the eyes. I'm looking at the hands. I'm looking at the mannerisms of the people, their demeanor. And if you watch them, they hold their hands a certain way. They hold their head a certain way. It's their posture. And you know, and you can give off the certain ways you look and certain things you do. It's called affectations of being somebody deeply into the Word of God, deeply spiritual. But what that does is draw attention to you, not the Lord. Certain things we do like that. So, God, that we have the ability to come to the knowledge of truly who our Savior is. We have that ability, but we have to have that desire. We can do it. And it takes God to get us through it. It takes God to show us the way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You'll notice in some of the mega churches, these things happen. And a lot of times you see the people throw themselves at the minister, at the prophet, the apostle. And it's like the hallelujahs are going toward the preachers. Hallelujah. They're clapping their hands in the hallelujah. But as you see it in the spirit, as you begin to know people by the spirit and you can see it, it's not even the worship towards the our Lord God Almighty, Jesus above all. See that it's not about that. It's about the people. It's about the person that's preaching and the leaders in the church. But thank God it's not like that in all churches, because God has a remnant that sold out for him. I don't want anybody to get it twisted or, you know, think that I believe that all churches are like that, because I don't. And I know this is one that we are on. We are not like that. We're about God's business. We're not about the world. We're not about the flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm sorry again. Wow, it's 12 o'clock already. Sorry about that. So when you, there was one minister I was listening to, and I enjoy his preaching. Occasionally I go and I listen. Very anointed man of God. And there was this one person that was just, I think I mentioned it before, screaming and hollering. And it just wasn't of God. But she was doing that, and it was directed toward him. And he knew it was. He knew it was. And he told her to stop all that, told her to sit down. Because we can see when it's not real. We can see when that adulation is going towards the person. He didn't want that. I don't want you to give me no worship. I don't want that. Now, God said that we should honor those who deserve to be honored. Yes, we should. We should encourage our brothers and our sisters. Yes, we should. But we got to make sure we keep it balanced. So that preacher was like, you know, you got to get out of here with that. Or sit down. Hallelujah. He literally was putting her out of the church with that foolishness. Or sit down, leave, or, you know, but don't do that. So you see, it's so easy to do things that draw attention to ourselves. Just like with our giving,
don't have to announce what we give. God said, you got your reward already. Now, when it's a ministry thing, you know, and it's part of the service, and the pastor says that we're going to help this person or that person or this organization or whatever, and that's going to be our project, they're quite different. But you got some people that want to give and tell you every time they give, every time they do something, every time they go help the poor, they got to let you know they did it. Now, unless it comes up in your testimony, it might just come up and God may have you share it, have us share a certain thing, but we don't have to talk about everything that we give. It's not of God, and he doesn't like it. Because he said you're gonna get your reward. If you're being braggadocious about what you did and you want everybody to know you gave this amount, that amount, all of that, then no. You already got your reward. You put yourself into it. Gave yourself some self gratitude. So that's given to that thing we wanna be, that persona, that aura, that we're more spiritual than the rest of the people. We're so spiritual. We're so righteous. And we got to be careful that we don't get so self-righteous, because God frowns on self-righteousness. We've been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. We've been made righteous through Jesus Christ. Amen? So as God begins to use people, people begin to look, use you, use us. Sometimes people begin to look, because God has been using us or using you as a vessel. Satan sneaks in there, and he's very subtle, and gives you these subtle suggestions. That's all right. Let them really admire you. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. God don't have a problem with that. You hear him saying, it's okay. Because, see, when people really have confidence in you, then you can, when they really have confidence in you that has been turned towards you because they know Jesus Christ is all in all, then you can really point them even the more to Jesus, my God, because they see your walk. And they admire that. That's okay. They want to imitate that. That's supposed to be so. But not to the point where I want to be just like them. No, you're going to imitate, but not to the point where that person is greater than God. And we don't even realize we do it. That's when we have fallen into that trap where we're going to put people over God. People begin to take the glory for themselves. And they soon become, listen, don't miss this, they soon become unusable to God, to Yahweh, Jesus above all. So one of the main prayers that we should all be praying, all I say, ask people to pray this prayer, that God will keep us usable, that God will help us to keep our eyes lifted up to him, giving him all the praise. See, because we're amazed at what God has done and what God is doing. And so we are so in awe of God. And me personally, I'm so grateful for what God has done in my life and what he will do. But I realize that it is God who has done it. And I realize that if I begin to take credit or glory for it, God can set me aside in a quick hurry. Great big hurry. Because God is not going to stand for it. God is a jealous God. He said it. Hallelujah. I'm a jealous God. And he has told us to put no man before him. We are to be his only God. Hallelujah. We are to be, he is to be our only God. Forgive me, God, for saying it the wrong way. In Jesus' name. The devil is a liar. So keep me in prayer, and I'm going to keep everybody else in prayer so that we stay in place where we stay in that place where we give God all the glory, all the praise, where we can continue to do this throughout our lives. The Lord will keep you in your walk. Praying that God keep us from ever trying to touch the glory or take credit for what he has done. We've got to pray for each other. Paul the Apostle was concerned about this very thing when he wrote to the Corinthians. You see? He spoke about how he beat himself up to keep his body under subjection. Lest having preached to others, he would be set aside. He would be put on the shelf. See? So he realized that that's a very prevalent danger and is very prevalent in the earth today. It was prevalent back then and it is now. Your body under. And that's not an easy thing to keep your body under subjection, to keep the spirit uppermost, the Holy Spirit, because the body want to rule over your life. That flesh want to rule over your life, even as the spirit desires to rule over our life. And you will be ruled by one or the other. It's your choice. You'll be governed by your flesh, or you'll be ruled or governed by your spirit. And here it is. Unfortunately, sometimes we aren't governed by the spirit, but we yield to the spirit, and then, unfortunately, sometimes we yield to the flesh. See, we want to go both ways. We want to go both ways. One foot in the church, one foot in the world. And we respond and react after the flesh because God is not having that. We can't be both ways. So if we keep it up, we keep doing that, God will give us over to the flesh. He'll give us over to that reprobate mind. If we continue to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so there is this battle for supremacy. We all want to be supreme. So what is going to rule over us? Here's the question. What's going to rule over you? Whether you'll be ruled by the spirit or you'll be ruled by the flesh. If we make Jesus our all in all, knowing that Jesus is our all in all, and keep that, continue to go for more understanding, continue to keep your mind on Jesus Christ who keep you in perfect peace, your life will be in perfect peace because you're following the way of the Savior. So if there is this battle that's rising up in some people, it's rising up. Some people are getting out there, getting started. So here's what we are told in the Bible. We are told if we sow to the flesh, then of the flesh we're going to reap. But if we sow to the spirit, then of the spirit we will reap. Mm-hmm. And it is a mistake to think that you can sow to the flesh and then reap of the spirit, right? Because it says, the Bible says you reap what you sow. So it's important. If we want to be used by God, if we are being used by God, if I am to be used by God in a powerful way, then I have no personal ambitions whatsoever where ministry is concerned for greatness, because God is the great one. He is the greatest of all. He is above all. Jesus Christ, my all in all. No ambition to be famous. I don't have no ambitions to be known. I don't have no ambitions to be at all for people to know my name, see my name somewhere on the church somewhere or whatever.
on the programs. It doesn't matter. None of that doesn't matter to me. Foremost, it is God. My life is for the glory of God. We got to give our lives up for the glory of God. I don't have these fleshly ambitions. I don't. My God, because I want to reap of the Spirit. I don't want to reap anything of the flesh. It's important to me to be used by God and to be continued to be used by God. And I don't want no personal ambitions in terms of ministry. I do have some personal things I would like to still accomplish, and I work on them. And that's all right. As long as we don't put any of that before God. Well, I don't have no ambition to be, the ambition to be called to somebody's church to preach. Oh, they calling me here, they want me here, they want me there, and they're going to pay me, they're going to give me money here, they're going to give me money there. We make it a business. It's sickness. It really is sickness. We become like hirelings because now people want us to come. Now they're going to give us money to come. They're going to hire us. They're going to give us money when we come to preach. So we make it an ambition. It's going to be my business now. I see I got it working. So I can keep doing it. Because every time I go, they're going to give me this love offering. Ain't nothing wrong with love offerings either. But when we then begin to expect that, when we begin to think that we got to be paid to do the will of God, that's a problem. That's a big problem. Because God will honor us in due time. God is going to lift us up in due time. God is going to give us the honor. And God said, when you lend to the poor, I'll pay you back. I'll give it to you, and it'll come in ways that you never even expected. It'll show up. God knows your address. It'll show up at your door. He'll put it right there where you can see it, feel it, hear it, see it, feel it. My God, God blesses. Mary said, the angel said, you are highly favored of the Lord. You are chosen. And when we know we're chosen and we're highly favored, it doesn't get better than that in life. We're highly favored by God. It doesn't matter about being highly favored among the people. I need to know that I'm pleasing God. Hallelujah. I'm pleasing the one that's above all power. Hallelujah. Above all things. God forbid that I would ever glory other than for the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So when Paul was in Lystra, he faced the greatest peril of his ministry. I know most of you have seen it. Not when they stoned him and thought he was dead and drug him out of the city. That wasn't the greatest peril. That wasn't the greatest of the horrible things that happened to Paul. That's what a peril is. The greatest, most horrible thing that ever happened to Paul was when they thought he was a god. Oh, Jesus. Mercury and the priest of Jupiter was dragging an ox down the street to sacrifice it to Paul. Because the people said, the gods have come down. That was the greatest demonstration of a horrible thing that can happen in ministry. And in the ministry of Paul, when the people were ready to exalt him as a god. And so the danger of receiving it, there's danger in receiving that, danger in accepting that praise and adulation. The self-life deserves worship. I'm sorry, desires worship. Forgive me, Lord, in Jesus' name. This is what is caused by Satan, and this is why Satan fell. That's why he had a great fall. He wanted to be worshiped. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will be like the Most High. Oh, 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 oh. And he got kicked out. So if you want to get kicked off, you want to get kicked out, you want to be set aside, start allowing those people to put you, when they put you on the pedestal, and then you get high-minded and egotistical, oh, that ego is horrible. Wow, I'm way up here now. The people love me so much, and they're supposed to love you, but with the love of Christ. So the flesh life, and I'm almost done, a few more minutes, the flesh life will manifest itself. It even manifests itself when we are babies. I remember when my son, my oldest son, and so was Peter, but not as, Peter was worse actually than my oldest son when it comes to wanting to have his way. See, as long as we are living, I'm going to tell you the story, but as long as we are living in this body of flesh, it's a problem. That old nature is always going to be there, that fleshlight. His soul manifested in the earth. It just looks natural. We just call it natural. Well, God doesn't want us to live a natural life. He wants us to live a supernatural life through his power. But you see, you cannot live a supernatural life without the power of the Holy Spirit. So very early in life, we see babies trying their best, children trying their best to have their way. Even little children are cussing their parents out. 4 and 5 years old, kicking him. I seen a little boy kick his mother and was cussing his mama out. A little boy looked like 4 or 5 years old, wanting his way in the grocery store. And she's like, I would have slapped him down right there in the store. So, say that about Darren and Peter, because when it was time for nap time, they didn't want to take a nap. Or whatever they want, they would have these tantrums. You know how children have those tantrums. Because that flesh want what it wants. Peter didn't like the crib. He didn't like being in his crib. He wasn't even 1 year old, and he was trying to break that crib down. He would rock it and rock it and rock it to get my attention to come and pick him up and get him out of that bed. You see, even babies, you're born with those tendencies. We're born with that to try to have our way. And Darren would cry, cry, cry. Cry long enough. I would come get him. No. You had your bottle. You've been changed. You're clean. You're not hungry. It's time for you to take a nap. It's time for you to be put down. Even at night when I tell the stories and all that and put him to bed, he was the last one to go to sleep. His eyes would be looking in the ceiling. All you could see is the white of his eyes just looking all over. He's looking because he don't want to go to bed. He want to stay up late. But no, 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 you weren't going to rule me because I'm your parent. I take authority over that stuff. You have rules to follow. And we all still, as adults, we have rules to follow. We must follow the rules of God, the laws of God, his commandments. Amen. And know that Jesus is our all in all. We're almost done in a few more minutes. Because I have something I have to do. So God wants us to live that supernatural life. But we can't move. We can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. My God. And then when your children do something so good, even when they're grown, Darren is a really good cook, and he just, you know, my oldest son and my middle son, very, very good cooks, and they just have the gift for cooking. And
pacing my, and he looking at me while I'm pacing it. So I can see, oh, son, this is so good. Oh, it's so delicious. It's your best. They want that. Everybody desire. We desire to please people. It's okay, but not to the point where, oh, that's the only one I'm going to listen to. Oh, this, that, and the other. You know, or just give them all these praises and all of that. Yes, son, it's good. But you can tell they want you to make over it. You know, that's a tendency of the flesh. They want you to make over what they've done or whatever. Like one time he did my little garden and it was beautiful. And I said, thank you, son, that's so beautiful. That's nice. But you could be wanted that, you know. And again, it's okay, but just be careful, you know, because even with our children, we can make it so that we can cause rivalry between our children when we're always praising one child and never giving the other child any, you know, like pats on the back. You did a good job, son. Even if that child is not an A student and you know that child has done his best, you're supposed to call him. You're supposed to give him a hug, too, because that's the best thing to do. If you know they're doing their best, you give them a hug. You give them that, you know, like you did a good job. Good job. But then you're always praising the other one who gets all the A's. We're always honoring them. We're always patting them. We're always saying, oh, I know. Look, you did a great, great job. While the other child just had the C's, but that's the best that child could do. So, I mean, that's just the flesh. So it's a natural thing, part of human nature, and it's part of that old nature. My God. So Paul wasn't having that. Mm-hmm. One time, matter of fact, he said in the Word, we were all by nature the children of wrath, even as others by nature, by that human nature. Mm-hmm. Anyway, children of wrath are those that their own way and not obey God at all. They want to live their life as the king, the queen. My life is my life. I do what I want. And it's not going to be no, as for me, my house. I'm going to serve the Lord. It's not going to be like that in my house. Some people would, that's how they do. I do what I want to do. But Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, you know. And he was speaking to his family and the people before he crossed over, letting them know, make sure you continue to allow your house to be that of the Lord and that you continue to serve the Lord. And he talked to them about that before he crossed over. So you see, the flesh have a problem when you become born again, when your spirit comes alive. But see, now the spirit wants to rule. And the flesh is fighting against that spirit because the flesh doesn't want the spirit to rule. It's been on the throne for a long time here, you know, for a long time. The flesh is doing what it wants to do. It was on the throne. I'm the king. I'm the queen. And it resists. It's reluctant. Resisting to succeed the throne. To succeed the throne to the spirit. And it's going to counterattack every time. It's going to try to get back on the throne again. Yeah, that's right. And so as long as we live in these bodies of flesh, we're going to be subject to constantly being yielded to the spirit or yielding to the flesh. We're going to constantly be pulled between the two. And that is why Paul tells us that we
and all of creation together, drawn in travail until now, as we are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God and the redemption of our body. Our bodies are not redeemed. Our soul is redeemed, y'all, not the body. But a redeemed soul and a corrupt body is a real bad combination. That's something else right there. We know that because we got to fight that flesh. But that's the way it is. So you see, my spirit, our spirit, those of God, must long after God in our heart. And he be the one that we want to serve. But my flesh is fighting against that. The flesh always does. Now, if I want God to really use me, if you want God to really use you, we've got to come to the cross. We've got to be reconciled. That old flesh life to be dead. There has to be a reconciliation. We got to know. We've got to proclaim that we are crucified with Christ, and it is not I who live. It's no longer I who live. Hallelujah. You see? That's when you become a soldier, a real soldier in the army of the Lord. You keep your armor on. And when that devil comes to fight you and to tempt you in the flesh, power and that authority that you have in you, it will just flow through you, and the devil gonna be on the run. You gotta go. You don't give him no place. Don't give him no open door. Stay up on the word. Stay up on Jesus. 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 The one and the only one, still the one that's above all, always will be the one that's above all and everybody. So God dealt severely with the problems in the early church. People who were desiring glory, people who were desiring the ooh, ahs, and the ohs. Mm-hmm. God dealt with it in a very, very severe way. I'm going to talk about this and I'm done. Ananias and Sapphira thought to put on an act for the people. Mm-hmm. Don't we see that? A lot of acting. Pretending to give more than what they were given. Pretending to give all when they were holding back. You see, you got to give your all in all to God. When he becomes all in all to us, we give our all in all to God. It wasn't wrong that they held back, but the fact that they were acting and putting on a facade, declaring that they were given everything, putting on a show, when they were holding back. But why would you do that except that you want people to praise and say, oh, did you hear what they did? Oh, did you see that? Isn't that awesome? Aren't they awesome? Marvelous, wonderful. Isn't that so great? And that desire for adulation and praise cost them their lives. God dealt severely, and this is where I'm bringing it home. He dealt severely with their lives. We don't want the wrath of God. You don't ever want to experience the wrath of God. And we're seeing the wrath in the earth right now. We don't want to experience that. We're seeing the wrath on some folk lives that decided, I'm going to be the man. I'm going to be the woman. While I'm using the name of Jesus above all names, I'm using his name. But I'm not doing what I preach. Uh-huh. We're not practicing what we preach. We want to be the member of a club. We don't want to be a soldier of the cross. We want to be the member of a club. I'm in the elite club. I'm one of the ones. My God, I stand high. No. I ought to step on them like an ant. God, Jesus. So, Lord, help us. So, we may come back and do a little more because there are some more stories in the Bible that's so relative to this sermon. So I believe I'll do a part two if the Holy Spirit allows. But just to show how seriously God, severely he dealt with these people, with Ananias, and how severely he dealt with others. In the book of Leviticus, he dealt with others the same way his people felt no better. Using his name in vain, and in vanity. My God, walking in disobedience, walking with the heads up high, is not of God. When we begin to think too much of ourselves, respect yourself, love God first, love others, give to others like we're supposed to do, but make sure above all, obedience is better than sacrifice. Above all, honor God for the God that he is. Yahweh is Jesus Christ. Above all, he's supposed to be your all in all. And when you honor him that way, you're going to walk that way. You're going to walk in life knowing that Jesus is my everything, my redeemer, my protector, my teacher, my healer, my God, my recompense, my direction. He's my worship. He's my life. My holy redeemer, the one that redeemed me from death, from hell, from the curse, my mediator, intercessor. He's all of that. He's all in all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's your shepherd. You shall not want. Just depend on him. Amen? So it's 12:35. I'm about to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you, God. Oh, Jesus. Help us, God, to stay focused on your word so that we not be focused on things of the world that will keep us separated from you, God. And will cause us to become one of trouble, cause our lives to be troubled, cause us to live a life that is not like you, cause us to live in the way that you died for us not to live in, that you died for us not to be in. You died for us to come out. From out of the world, in the world, but we're not of the world. All that he did on the cross, if we look at what he did, that we will keep him above all. Jesus Christ, our all in all, has spoken today. Amen. I'm only the vessel. That's it. I desire no accolade, none at all. My God, my greatest desire is to serve the Lord. And that's what it has to be if we're going to get where we need to be in God. If we're going to get to paradise, we got to live the life here in order to have life forever through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So God bless you all. Thank you for coming to listen. And I pray this word resonates, that it sinks down in our soul. Hallelujah. That every word that's preached out of this gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that every time you come and you hear the word, that it will sink down in your soul, and that Jesus will always be your number one. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Let me get Bishop. I'm through, Apostle. I have something to take care of, so it'll be Bishop on the line. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, God. Hallelujah. Keep us mindful of you, Jesus. Let me get Bishop. Hallelujah. Glory to God. On my way to Bishop.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Prayer of salvation on the way. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Praise the Lord, everyone. This is Holy Man. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for allowing us to be in the land of the living on this day. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Thank you for giving me the privilege to invite people to you, Father God. Oh, Father, I pray every day that somebody would open their eyes and their heart and listen to what the Word of God is saying. It's so very, very simple and easy to save your eternal life. I'm simply saying, as it does in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 to 10, and so easily says, what does it say? That the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And verse 8 says, God, you know, he sent his only begotten Son in the world to save all of our souls. He never committed sins. We did. But he took it upon himself to follow his request from Father God in heaven to be the ultimate sacrifice, because he alone was the only one worthy to be a sacrifice for all mankind. Do not let Jesus die and suffering and dying on Calvary in vain for things that he didn't do. The thing Jesus did was obey the Father and suffering and died for us, which was more than anyone else could do anyway. And it just says that in salvation prayer. So it's very simple. Turn your life over to Christ. Do it this day. Don't wait until you're going to have a baptism and you go and say, well, in 2 weeks I'm going to receive Jesus as my Lord. So you do that immediately. Don't worry about the baptism right away. You know, some churches only baptize once a month, you know. But if not, if you're anxious to get baptized, which you should be, you know, because the only way to heaven is through Christ Jesus, as it says in the book of Acts. There's no other name mentioned under heaven that mankind should be saved except Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, if you made this confession and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for our sins and our iniquities, you shall be saved. Is the word of God, not Bishop James or anybody else's word. And the only way is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we thank him today and we honor him, give him glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. Now, our next step is to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it tells you that in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 10, verses 10 through 12. Read it for yourself, not what I say. In the word of God, it's in the Bible. The whole scripture was not written by man. But it was written by man, but inspired by God. And so, it says clearly, the only way, the only name mentioned under heaven, the man should be saved, is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He has made this confession. God bless you and all mankind. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Now, if Bishop does not want to baptize you in that manner, find a church that will. You get me? If you want to remain in your church, then do so. But get baptized as soon as you can. And invite everyone you know to your baptism. For it is an outward sign, and also a message to the enemy that you're no longer following him and living in a sinful life. You're following Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, we pray that you've all done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to say congratulations to each and every one. The holiday season is still flourishing. So let these people get opportunities to take you away without being baptized. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please accept him as your Savior today. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, and in the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 10 to 38, it's a conversation with James. The first thing he said is, repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And it will be well with you if you do so. And talk to your children. Invite them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yes, at the only name mentioned from the heaven, man should be saved by Jesus Christ. Praise be to Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Glory to his holy name. Congratulations to all the brothers and sisters who accepted Jesus as the Savior today, and for all those who are backslidden and have returned back to our flock. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pastor, it's back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop. We pray God give you strength and energize you in the mighty name of Jesus. God continue to protect you, continue to shield you, and keep you secure in the palm of his hands. In Jesus' name. Mother Grant, come on in.
Good morning to everybody on the line. God bless you, woman of God. I'm driving here with my granddaughter because I bring my book, I say, so I could read my Bible. Greetings to everybody on the line this morning. My reading, thank me for the condition that I require you to be still. Do not spoil these quiet hours by wishing them away, waiting impatiently to be activated again. Some of the greatest work in my kingdom have been done from setback, sickbed, and poison cells. Instead of resending the limitation of a weakened body, search for my way in the midst of those very circumstances. Limitation can be limiting when your strength desire is living close to me. Quietness and trust enhance your awareness of my presence with you. Do not despise these simple ways of serving me. Although you feel cut off from the activities of the world, your quiet trust make a powerful statement in spiritual realm. My strength and power show themselves most efficiently in weakness. Isaiah 30 and 15, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. May God add his blessing to his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mother. You guys have a safe traveling out there.
Thank you.
You if you're coming by. And blessings for a little reading. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the apostle and bishop. Thank you for the word that you allow them to pour into our hearts today. Lord, we ask a fresh anointing, fresh revelation upon their lives. We ask, Father, that you continue to strengthen them, O God, where they are weak and where they are strong. Make them even stronger. We ask for your protection. We ask, O God, for you continue to meet them at their point of need. Lord, let there be no lack in their house, O God. Oh, Father, we ask that when they go out, Father, that you send forth angels with them, as you did for Daniel, O God, that they will be protected, and, O God, that the angels will fight for them, O God. You said you give your angels charge over them. and Psalm 91:11. So, God, we just thank you. We praise you, O God, for this word in Jesus' holy name. Apostle, you said so much. You said so much. You know, I was so tired I had to keep myself awake because I took some medicine last night and it didn't let me sleep at all. Every minute I had to keep going to the bathroom and, you know, just flushing the water out of my body. But I thank God. I thank God for the word that I heard today. You talked about Mary. You talked about Paul. You talked about so many patriots. Moses, David, so many patriots. But what I like is that when the angel came to Mary, you talked about that. And Mary said, how can this be, you know? But when she recognized that it was of God, she said, it may it be unto me. May it be unto me. See, when you recognize that it's not you, but it's God, you accept it. You surrender. You submit and you commit. And then she said, be it unto me. Because she said, look, I ain't never had a man before. So how can I have a baby? You know, he said, I never had a man before. And he said, look, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. He's going to come upon you. And he said, well, she said, well, be it unto me. And look at Elizabeth, you know, with Zechariah acting a fool, you know. And had God had to shut his mouth off for a season. Whole season. Can you imagine going to the church and you can't talk? Can't talk. But God did that. So he recognizes God. God has all power, all authority. And I like what you said about people, you know, as soon as God, and I like when you brought that in, when God starts to use people and they start to be recognized by other people, they act like it's them. To forget that it's God all along. It's God. It's never going to be us. It's always going to be him. But sometimes we start slow. And God will start slow. And then when he starts to use you to touch hands, use us to lay hands on people, and they recover their sight, their hearing, they come out of sickness, we start pushing our chest up. I went down to the hospital, and I lay hands on his body, and they come out of the hospital. No, they don't say, God lead me to the hospital. God was with me. God did the work. I just was the mouthpiece for God. That was so powerful. You know, preachers need to hear messages like that. Because a lot of preachers losing their path by stepping in front of God, thinking that is them. You know, they're losing their path. The glory belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us. The only glory belongs to us that he gave to us is for us to become one, as he and the Father is one. Apart from that, and the glory to do the work. Apart from that, all the glory belongs to him. All the praise, all the honor, all the adoration belongs to him, you know.
Hallelujah.
So the word was just so filling in me. You know, a lot of times when we get in there, we forget who called us. We act like it's us calling God. We forget that God's the one who called us out of darkness. He's the one who called us into his light. We didn't want to come in the light to start with. We thought we had it all going on while we was in the darkness, going to the nightclubs and all this stuff, you know, slipping here and slipping there. We thought it was us, but it's, you know, God's the one who brought us out of that mess. And then once we get out of the mess and then we are starting to be recognized by people, we don't want to give him the glory. We don't want to give him the glory. We act like it's us. I thank you for that word. That was such a sweet word. I mean, it was just a sweet, sweet word. Having all the adjustments that we need in it to be who God called us to be.
Thank you,
Jesus. I tell you the truth. You know, you talked about, it was in Corinthians, we had talked about God don't use them people that think they got it together. He don't use the ones that have all the degrees and all the doctors and stuff. This you see a lot of people assume they go and get a piece of paper from a man or a woman that get them and say that they're a doctor. You can't even call them by their Christian name anymore. The name that their mother and father give them, you can't even call them that anymore. If you don't call them doctor, chief, apostle, archbishop, or whatever they want to, they look at you like with cross eyes. because they think that that's it. Being somebody called me, I don't care if you call me partner, just don't call me foolish or late for supper. They still call me foolish or call me late for supper. But I know who I am. I'm a child of God. That's all you need to do. No, I'm a servant of God. I do his bidding. That's all I need. I'm not here looking for no pats on the back. I don't care to ambush them. What I want to do is get the word out there in the atmosphere that somebody have an opportunity to hear the word. It's just like having a barbecue. You want to cook more than enough so that when other people come by, if they're hungry, they can get something to eat. That's what I want.
Amen.
Never be selfish with the word. Be ready to give somebody a hope that's in you, the hope that's in you. Tell them about Jesus. No, it's not about us. It's about him. And you look in the Bible, say, he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise and the weak things to confound those things that think they're mighty. We have to get that in our head. You drove that home so eloquently. We have to understand that it's not us, it is Jesus. That's the main thing that I heard the message, all through the message. It is him. He is God. He is Savior. Listen what he told me last night when I look at. He is Lord. He is Redeemer. He is Healer. He is Protector. He is Shepherd. He is Supplier. He is Life.
That's right.
Jesus is all that. I'm none of that. I'm none of that. He's all that.
Mm-hmm.
If not for him, I would be nothing. You hear what I'm telling you? If not for him, we will be nothing. I bring you all into. Not just me. We will be nothing without. We are nothing without him. Even Paul.
Absolutely.
You know.
Hallelujah.
And God made sure he kept Paul under subjection. Because Paul was getting a lot of fame in the people's prison. And guess what? He had he put a thorn. I don't know what it is, but he put a thorn in Paul's side. Keep him under subjection. Paul said every time Paul wants to jump up, he said, realize it is Christ. Not me. It is Christ. Every time he said, it's Christ. Every time he wants to get up, I could see him want to push his chest about an apostle. I said, no, I'm the least among the apostles. Not even worth to be called an apostle. He said, but I am what I am, what God said I am. That's the key right there. I can't do nothing on my own. It is him. It is him that's leading. It is him that's directing us. We're working for him. We're on his team. The payment is not much, but the retirement plan is out of this world. That's what we're working for, the retirement plan. All these folks that, I like what you said, all these folks that making all that money and they don't want to preach unless they get money, they already got their reward. He told you that. They already got their reward. But we are working because we know that we got a crown waiting for us and we got a robe, a white robe dipped in Emmanuel's blood waiting for us. Beautiful robe, golden slippers, a ring of sonship or daughtership. We got a crown of glory waiting for us. That's why we do what we do. We ain't doing anything to make money. Glory to God. But I thank you, Apostle. That I hope that the people going to this when they start to listen to this, that they don't say, well, that's a woman preaching. Because you know a lot of people out there that a woman preaching. I don't like that. I see some folk come on to this. Sure, stay on to 2 minutes and jump off. A woman preaching. Well, you missing what God said. God used a donkey to talk to one of his servants one time. Use a donkey in Numbers. Numbers 22. Use a donkey to talk to Balaam. Why? Because he thought he knew more than God. He going to do what he wants to do. God told him don't do something, he's going to do. And guess what? God sent an angel down there with a flaming sword. He couldn't see the sword, but God allowed the donkey to see the sword. And the donkey almost crushed his leg to the wall. And he said, if I had a sword, I would kill the donkey. And I said, well, why you want to kill me? Where you want to kill me? Haven't I been good to you ever since? And God now let Balaam see the angel that was down there. The donkey told him to. Donkey said, I was protecting you. Now he feel all down in his spirit now. And he talking. Can you imagine he talking to the donkey that he had for all that time? And now he's talking to the donkey, don't even realize he's talking to the donkey. God let the donkey talk. Because God going to get his point across. We got to sometimes humble ourselves so God don't have to use a donkey to talk to us. Know that it's God that's using us. We are not anything. We can't do anything. And if we don't have the anointing on it, we just waste an ear. You need the anointing. You need the anointing on your ministry, on our ministry. Mm-hmm. And some folk, they say, and they love to tell you, oh, I've been preaching for 30 years, 40 years. So what? You can preach for 100 years and still end up in hell. Still bust hell wide open.
Amen.
Because you have malice in your heart. You have jealousy in your heart. And you preach for 35 years and end up in hell. No. Stay humble. Stay humble. And allow God to use us so that we can reach people. That's what we got to do. Always remember, God, I thank you, because I'm not even worthy to be on his team. I'm not even worthy, Apostle, to be on his team. But, you know, when he was teaching that, I was saying to myself, how could God call me? I was saying to myself, Apostle, how could he call me? I know there was others out there better, much better than I am. They have they're more eloquent in speech than I am. He could have called them. They know more than I know. I was a messed up dope addict. And God reached all down in the mud, all in the mud, because that's where I was, in the mud, to pull me out. A nobody. Somebody called nobody to tell everybody about somebody who could change anybody. That's what he did. That's what he did.
That's right. Amen.
So we're not looking for no path. We, I always tell people all the time, I'm looking for accolades. Fuck you, this, this. No, you should give God thanks for the word that we bring forth, but we're not looking for no pat on the back. You don't even have to say a word. Man, I just pray and close out. I'm fine. As long as that word get on that computer and we can send this all over the world, you know, man, that's all that matters. Because when we die and go home and leave this country, leave this world, guess what? People are going to still be able to go. Technology still going to be running. They're going to still be able to go back and download it, and hear the messages. What a glorious time that's going to be. God said people are still hearing word that I put in your belly. I put in your belly, and people can still hear them. Man, you know what this is? It's like we are writing books that cannot be burned. Do you know what I'm telling you? We are writing books, verbal books that cannot be burned. Even if you try to erase it, you still can go in the clouds and get it done with the clouds. And hear it. My God, I'm telling you something. Thank you so much, Apostle. I'm blessed. The line is open. The line
You're
is
welcome,
open.
Sir. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
The line is open. If nobody wants to say anything, we're going to have Bishop close us out.
Amen. Yep, God's word has been done.
We're not going to sit here and look at people on the line and we're not saying anything. Mm-hmm. We all got stuff to do.
Yeah. Salvation. What do we have to do?
Bishop, close us out, please.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God be all the glory, honor, and praise as we depart from one another on this day, not from each other's heart. Hallelujah. So God be all the glory and honor, and we will see you on tomorrow on Vox Talk Radio. Until then,
Amen.
Be blessed and be careful. Hallelujah. The life you save might be your own.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Make sure that it is your own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. Have some rest, and we'll talk to you all later. Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Be safe out there. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.